Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Satchit Ananda with the Love Channel. I don't hear any music, so I assume that we're not going to do any music tonight. Just had some guidance today to do a show tonight. And just feeling really good, feeling really great, seeing things from a little bit of a different perspective. And I thought that I'd share it with everyone tonight, everyone that chooses to listen, either now or a later date or whatever. Just had really a lot of inspiration when I was driving to work this morning, just feeling the love, I mean really feeling the love within myself and feeling the desire to record it. And that's what I usually do when I'm, because I don't really feel, I don't know, I just feel like that's my best friend, my recorder on the phone, my phone recorder. So I record things. And Iggy's here with me. So Iggy, you want to say hello to everyone?
Hi, everyone. This is Iggy. You're funny.
Yeah, I want to know what's going on with you, too. But right now, so anyway, I came to a lot of awareness. So I said, you know, as I'm driving, I put the recorder on. I just let it flow. And I realized that, like, most of my life has been about the heart, truly about the heart, being a little girl, being really sensitive, being very psychic and, you know, knowing that I could, like, move anything around my room and doing it and playing these little games with myself, thinking that everybody else could do the same thing. But obviously they didn't know they could, so they didn't. Mm-hmm. That was very strange. Anyway, so I was always looking for that feeling tone in my heart. So I was always caring for people. And mostly people used to call me mama, even when I was a young girl, because I was always counseling my friends and the little kids in the neighborhood, like you do with your animals.
Mm-hmm.
And so even now at work, everybody calls me mama. You know, I think it's hysterical. And I really do feel like a teenager again, because I'm back in that focused energy, the creativity that I was for most of my life, which I had kind of put on a shelf when I was really deep into the spiritual realm, but, you know, the airhead, flying high chick that list mini person that I was. Anyway, so now that I'm grounded in planet Earth, I'm starting to see things from a very different perspective. So anyway, so I'm driving, and I get this feeling tone in my heart, and I start realizing how blessed I've been in relationships, that I've really had completely beautifully fulfilling relationships for the times that they lasted, whether it was friends or family or mostly with the men in my life, the ones that I made the commitment to be with, you know. And then realizing that I really did very recently reach that peak experience that we would call the sacred union, which I talk about a lot and I write about a lot. I even have a group on Facebook called the Sacred Union. And I realized that I really got it. I really went there, you know. And the more that I'm there in my understanding, the more I realize that the separation between me and the one that I call the one really becomes insignificant, because I feel the love with him, of him, from him, through me, whatever, all the time. So much so that sometimes I really lose sight of who's who in me, which part, you know. He played, I play, and it's really bizarre, but it's also wonderful, because I get this strong sense that it's a connection with God. And I think that, for me anyway, I have come to realize that it's the only reason that we come into a conscious existence, and that is to reunite with the true self, you know, the true sense of love in the highest. And I really feel like, because of my evolution of relationships that I've chosen to do and say, okay, it's done, thank you for the lesson, I got to go to the next one. And I really did that consciously, and not, you know, it sounds like it's cold maybe, that I might have done it with an idea that I was, you know, hurting someone. Never. I just felt like I gave my all and it was time to go to the next. And anyway, and I think, because on some level, I must have known that that's what this is about. And again, this is just from my perspective. I might be totally, you know, talking only for me, and there's really nobody that can relate to this, but I felt like I had to share it out loud, because I know there's so many people that are still seeking to find this self that they call their soulmate or their twin soul or their, you know, their their higher self. And I really feel that it is so attainable, and it can only be found within. I had to reach some point of self-love and self-respect for that aspect of me to show out up outside of me, which I always talk about because everything's a mirror or an out picturing of what I feel. And it happened. And it happened so much that I feel such a sense of peace in my aloneness now. I'm not looking, I'm not seeking to find something to fulfill me anymore, you know? And so I just felt like I really needed to share that out loud for me mostly, but for those that are still seeking to find, you know, Course in Miracles says that, you know, don't seek idols, because every time an idol falls, we will cry. We will die almost because of the pain, you know, that every relationship on some level in the physical is going to leave us, or we're going to leave it, or whatever. Everything in this reality will turn to ash someday, you know, in the physical. And so that when you really get that and realize that it really is above the body, that everything that we're feeling and seeking and looking for is just an essence of being, you know, and that once we get it, we really capture it, we become the fulfillment. It's profoundly beautiful. It's beyond anything that I could have ever received in the material realm, you know? I mean, what I'm saying, do you get what I'm saying, Iggy? Do you relate to it on some level?
Yeah, I definitely relate to what you're saying, absolutely. it's just one of those things that it's really difficult for people to grasp sometimes. A lot of people feel like they have to grab things outside of them in order to complete them. And I'm not sure, you know, why that happens and why folks have to go through that, but I think it's part of their journey as well. But I totally agree
right.
what you're talking about, yes.
And so for that, for me, it's like I really feel like it's a celebration now. And that I really feel, and I shared this in this recording that I did, is that I am living in Eden now. I'm living in a state of remembrance and recapitulating and reigniting the flame within me. And that is what we're here to do. And that's the eternal bliss that we hear about, you know, the rapture, so to speak. It is now. It really is now. And everything else is just a distraction from it. The hardest thing for me to do in this physical reality right now is to not be love. Mm-hmm. It's the hardest thing. It's so natural a state for me now. And the other part, I have to work at actually doing the physical interactions like I used to, you know, like the body used to do. And because I'm feeling this elation, and it's very personal. I mean, it really is very personal. But I'm starting to see that I'm attracting people to come into this place that I'm calling this restaurant that's really my center now. I never realized that, you know, in the last couple of days, I'm realizing that they're coming into this place, and it's like every day. People are coming literally every day to eat. And then they come in, and there's people actually hugging and kissing me. And it's like I'm seeing now really how much power love has to call upon itself the same. And then when you really get that, it's like everything and everyone is your lover in the true sense, because everyone is mirroring the essence of your being loved. You know, and for me, it was this one moment in time where I really saw the love and received the love from the male aspect of me and danced with it and allowed myself to be loved, which is so very important, because I really believe that until we can allow ourselves to receive love, and, you know, we could call it an outside force, but for me, it was really God. You know, I saw the Adonis. I saw God in this man. And that man triggered the remembrance that me and the Father are one. you know? And so that coupling, that partnership, that, you know, concept of marriage is really about me and the Father, me in the highest state of love. And when I got it, he showed up, the physical male, you know? And so when I let it go and he left and he walked and I walked, whatever, in the beginning it felt unnatural. You know, it felt like there was something missing. But then when I allowed myself just to be in the presence of my own state of love, I started feeling this male aspect more and more. As I said, sometimes I can't even tell if I'm him or I'm me, you know, because the connection is so reminiscent of the Adam and Eve, or the concept of the first male and the first woman. That's the true state of pure love. It's a virgin love. It's a true state of love. And so, you know, Ananda of Love, you know, everybody laughs at me. And you know, I chose that name, as you know, maybe a long time ago in time.
Uh-huh.
But I felt that for some reason I had to capture that idea within myself, that my true birthright was love, you know. And the other names were just names that were given to me to make me think I wasn't love, think that we aren't love, you know. But the true state of our being is love. And so I wanted to celebrate that tonight. I wanted to share it out loud. I wanted to send that out in the airwaves, you know,
mm-hmm.
and in my own reality, you know. I wanted myself to hear out loud what I've come to experience and to allow myself to feel and to celebrate it, you know, because I think that there's no other reason to be here but that. What do you feel about that?
Very powerful. That's kind of like knowing, you know, you get to that point where you just know. And It's hard to grasp sometimes because we think we, like, you know, it's hard for us to love ourselves sometimes. I mean, I'm working on it each day. I'll be the first one to say. So when I hear you say that, it gives me hope, and it gives me the idea that there is, you know, and it's about me. You know, you taught me a lot in the course of the years that we've known each other to, you know, the mirror is right there, and the mirror reflects back to us exactly what we need to see and exactly what we need to teach other people. So I really appreciate when you...
Yeah, and I thank you for that. Thank you for acknowledging me. But I really feel it's to teach me. You know, I'm in an environment now where, you know, my son keeps saying, "Ma, you taught me since I'm a little boy I'm responsible for my, you know, my reality. You're not acting like it today. You're acting like you're a victim sometimes."
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling him that you don't understand. When you realize, as I've come to realize, that it's not okay to be inadequate anymore, for anyone in my presence to act like they're not adequate enough to do the job that they're here to do, which is just to give the love. I go wild. Like, if the food isn't right for everyone, it's my family. Excuse me, you need to do that again. And I'm not claiming it as, you know, an ego. I'm claiming it as, this is a celebration. Every moment that I'm in that experience, I'm here to feast with my family, you know. And so I wear the cloak of knowing that I am one with God. And
that's awesome.
It's a hard, you know, a hard role for someone who's in my reality that I've, you know, made to show up on whatever level to grasp that sometimes. It's like, oh, my God, our energy is so crazy. It's so wild.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I'm watching, saying to myself, here I go. Because I'm taking myself there and believing that that's real instead of just rising above it and bringing that aspect of me up with me. So again, like you said, it is definitely a work in progress. But I've captured the understanding that I got it. It used to be I had the other and I was getting glimpses of this. And now I have this, I'm getting glimpses of the other, what was, you know? pretty wild. And it's very hard because I really can't share this with anybody but my son, because, you know, he's my son. He understands where I'm coming from. And, of course, mm-hmm. you now. And whoever chooses to pick up this phone or to, you know, listen later on, those are the aspects of me that somehow get it, you know. So I was getting this aha, as I said, as I was driving to work, realizing that there is no other purpose. So all the jobs and all the modalities and all the relationships and all are nothing more but a means to take you to where you belong, on the throne, on the right side of the Father, you know, or, you know, whatever. It's to take us back to the remembrance that we are one with God. And when you see that, and you start seeing it and feeling that, you start taking things really so personally, because you start realizing that it's just you showing you what's not real. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And we stop being serious. I can't even look at politics. I haven't, like I say all the time, I haven't even turned on the television for months. For years, really. I'm saying months, years, literally. And, you know, relationships that I've had, they're like, what? I gotta watch television. Well, I don't do that.
You're not missing anything. So I'll tell you that you're not missing anything.
And it's like, I am so delusional in my reality, but I think that I'm more, you know, I think I'm more clear about who I am because of that.
Sure.
There's no distractions. There's very few distractions. And, you know, then I say sometimes, but, you know, I'm so friggin' alone in this. But I don't feel afraid to be alone of it anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel afraid to be alone and you know, savoring my fulfillment. Cause I really feel like that's, again, a high state of being. And, again, when I say high, I never mean it's better than anything. It's just where we're supposed to be. You know, I think that we're supposed to be as, you know, children of the Most High. And that it turns
Absolutely.
Out to be just the child of the Most High, because there really is only one, you know, in perceptual reality. So whatever you choose to assume is what you're going to see in your reality. And so will I, and so will he, and so will they, you know. So, I don't know. I just feel excited about this, and I don't know where it's going, but I know that I finally do have the last chapter of my book. So that's really exciting to me. I've been talking about this book for 4 years. But I really feel like I can do it now, and I can do it in a way that, oh, my God, I'm so excited. I'm really so excited about it. All right, so I talked enough now. What about you? What's going on that's happening right now that feels whatever for you?
Well, I'm in a good place, you know. I'm a good place. I just kind of, I'm kind of on the track where you're kind of on, but in a little bit of a different kind of way. I'm still in that. I still have that masculine energy that, you know, likes to, you know, poke at things a little bit. But, you know, I do really enjoy, you know, knowing that, you know, my reality is what I create, you know, and how it manifests and how it works out. And the people that come into my life are, you know, by invitation. And they're on loan to me, and they're on loan to me, you know, for a short time. And so, you know, that's one of those things. I get caught up in the, you know, the normal things that happen in life. Facebook's one of those things. I get caught up in Facebook, like with some folks, and I'll share my point of view on the world. But, you know, but that's a part of me that needs to still work on that. I'm still, you know, working on aspects of myself that, you know, just need to, you know, see the world, you know, through different eyes.
Yes.
Mhm. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Mhm.
But, go ahead, honey. Go on.
You know, but I find as when I start to do the things that center me better, you know, I attract the people who, you know, who need to be centered or looking to be centered. Then, you know, and we have good I have good friendships and good relationships, even though we may not be par and par, you know, in believing in the self-love aspect. But I enjoy being with myself. I enjoy my company. I enjoy the love, you know, from my friends and family. But it's really my love that I reflect back at them, you know, so that's what I'm receiving back. So that's one of those things that it took me a while to understand and figure out. I don't have a lot of bad things happen to me, which is good, you know, because that's not what I want. I want good things and positive things to come into my life. And that's kind of where you asked me, so that's kind of where that's my perception of me at the moment.
That's cool. It's really, for me, what I'm starting to see more than not is that I feel so blessed that I was in the world, and then I left the world, and then I came back in the world conscious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what a blessing. You know, I said when I had that awakening, which is really cool, because in 1994 I was in Seattle, I had the awakening. I'm in Target yesterday, and there's a T-shirt, Seattle 1994. I'm like, oh my God, I got to buy this. And it was really only because of me feeling that it was happening again. It's 20 years ago. I'm feeling again that sense of renewal. You know, it's like I came back in the world to see it with different eyes. And that's basically what you just said, you know, the looking at things from a different perspective now. And it's such a blessing because when I had that awakening, I awakened in the arms of a man. And I always say, you know, that's why I became an angel of love. I said, you know, I didn't wake up because I had a drug addiction and I crashed or I almost died or whatever. You know, I woke up in the arms of a man. I'm like, what the hell is that? I must have done something right somewhere, you know. And so it's like now the same thing's happening. It's like I had my 3D world and I went and had this awakening and I was flying high for all these years and then I came back. And then I went up, and then I went to, and now I'm back again in the world, truly in the world, because I'm acting like, a patron of the world now. You know? And
yeah.
I see it so different. I'm such a different person. And it's so good. It feels so right. I never thought on any level that I could be so in like and so confident about who I am, you know?
Mm-hmm.
As
it's cool
female.
To see, it's cool to see love in different aspects too. Even when I went to this different things that I was involved with the other day with these people who were protesting about the government and freedom of speech, I still saw the love in there. You know, I still saw the love and the passion that they were, you know, showing the world. You know, they were just mirroring back to the world what, you know, the world doesn't want to see sometimes. And
yeah.
It was hard for people to get that. You know, they were all laughing and giggling and chuckling. But you know, I found it really interesting. I'm a really big observer, you know, I'll sit back and watch things develop, and it's really cute how just we're all the same, we're all on this big blue marble together, and we think that we got it, we know everything and so well, and we think that we have to, that we need other people to make us happy, you know.
Or make us pissed, one of the
My wife doesn't make me happy, we just meet each other halfway, you know. You talked about soulmates earlier, and, you know, I believe there's thousands of soulmates, people who get to make you laugh, giggle, upset, sad, you know, because it's one of the things that happens when you put that kind of burden on somebody to be everything for you. But, you know, the thing that you taught me, though, is to, you know, about self-love. You taught me and you showed me, you expressed to me how you express self-love. So it was one of those things that, you know, the universe brought us together to share and learn from one another. And I'm good for it. You know, I'm glad, you know, my life's better.
That's awesome. It really is. And how can it not be? Because you're just mirroring the aspect of you that is looking to be born through you. And it keeps happening. And the observer role that you talked about is such a powerful perspective. When I go there, I see how I can redesign anything. Because you actually see the dynamic. You see the blueprint of everything when you become the observer. You see why that's there, why that moved that way. Why the man that I love, he used to always say, and I love it so much because it's so profound. He'd say, Ananda, that moment right there where that man did that, it affected the entire universe. If that didn't happen, that wouldn't have happened. And he got it. He saw the interconnection. He saw the chords. You know? I just think that's so cool. And so that's what happens when you become the observer. It's like time and space stop, even though there's no time. And
yeah,
in
time's
that,
an illusion.
Right. So, but it does appear to stop, and it's like everyone slows down when you're in, mm-hmm. in the witness mode. And then all of a sudden, you realize that you could actually make her turn around, make him go that way. And you start to see that you are really the director of your reality.
Yeah.
So grant as much as you can, and anyone that's listening, try to become that neutrality. Try to become that aspect that just observes. Because when you observe, you realize the power you have to change your reality or make your reality whatever it is.
So did you make your reality today? Did you make your reality today when you had me come on the show with you?
Yes, it was only 20 minutes before. I'm like, I want to do the show. Iggy, can you do it with me?
I just walked by my computer. You know, I was upstairs doing what I was doing with the animals, and I come to my computer, and I was just like, okay.
And it was, I was driving, so it was like, and my phone wasn't charged.
You want to hear something funny? I was like, is she gonna be on tonight? I was like, I wonder if she's gonna be on tonight. That's exactly what I thought. I said, if she's not on tonight, I'll go on for her, or I'll put her pre-recorded show.
So we went on for us together. Oh my god!
Isn't that funny?
It is funny. Do you have any callers?
Yeah, you actually do. Here, I'll put them through here. Okay.
All right.
Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you there? I guess not. They don't want to answer. That's okay.
They could be just listening.
Oh, that's cool. All
right. I'll
anyway, so with all that we just said, that I just said, I just really feel the sense of strong love. And I don't even know, like, I I'm driving to work, and it's like, you have to see me because it's really funny. Because, like, I'm in the traffic right now in Florida because everybody's coming here. And I, like, actually move the energy when I'm driving. Like, if I'm in a hurry, I'll just like, kind of put it. I was in a hysterical because I think, like, you know, what the hell? But I really do move. I move the cars. I stop them and slow them down. And I know that I'm doing it, you know. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful to really get out of the head, get out of the brain, and allow yourself to transcend it and then rise above it and realize that you're really doing everything, that you are the puppet master. And I'm not saying that, like, you know, in an ego way at all. I'm just realizing that I become one with God when I do that.
Sure.
So I lose the self.
Absolutely.
And it becomes me.
I mean, that's one of the principles of the law of attraction, too, you know. Acting like you've already have it, you know, in front of you. They talk about that, moving, expecting a parking space up front, you know, moving traffic and stuff. I mean, that's one of those things. But it's faith. It's love and believing that you already are.
Yeah, well, you know what I really love the most out of all this is, you know, with my son, because he's, you know, he's like my best friend, you know. He's actually my only physical friend right now that can relate to me. And it's crazy, you know. And he's like, Ma, he goes, I was just thinking about that song, and there it is. And I'm like, Aunt. Like, I kid him, Aunt. And he goes, what? I said, you know that. He goes, yeah, I know, but it just happened again. You know, I said, I know. Or like we did a charity the other day. Down our area is so friggin' spiritual. It's so beautiful where we are. And down the road is hospitals. And then across the street from the hospital is this place called Molly's House. And Molly's House was built by the community for a girl that was dying, a young girl, and her wish was to have a house where could stay when the children are in the hospital.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so we went to Molly's House, which is, when you walk in the place, you know the spirit, the higher ideal is there, because it's just amazing, the energy. Anyway, we were one of the restaurants that did a spread, it was a fundraiser. And, you know, everybody's unloading their cars to put their tables together. As soon as we pull up, somebody pulls out. And I said, how did you like that? And he says, I loved it, you know. And that's how we play. We dance that way. Or he'll say, Ma, stop. And I'll say, Ann, shut up. You know, and it, like we do soft shoe, a spiritual soft shoe. You know, and it's hysterical because I get, you know, their children are our best teachers. And he really doesn't let me get away with anything when it comes to my knowing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be, you teach this, you're supposed to be living it. And I say, I am. No, you're not. You just did that, you know. And they say, you shush, you just did that, you know. Well, you got that with your kids, too. I know that.
Sure, absolutely.
And it's such a blessing because we really do have a heart connection on that level that reflects back to us the true state of our being. Not the superficiality or the modalities or the ideas or the, you know, the intellect, but they truly reflect our heart center, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they really are our healers. They, you know, they're aspects of us that really help us if we would just follow their lead and bring us, they would bring us right back home to the highest state, you know? So that's where I feel. I really feel like an honor of love tonight and to all day. And again, there's no special reason for it other than the aha, you know. I was sharing with this kid today at work. And it's just amazing what's happening at my job. I can't even get into it. I'll do another show on it because it's just mind-boggling. But I was just sharing her the aha moment, and I was telling her that in A Course in Miracles, a miracle is merely a changed perception. That all of a sudden, I mean, you listen to that song, and all of a sudden, you got it, you know? And in that moment, you're reborn because you see things from a different perspective, you know? And she was like, oh, yeah, that's true. You know, I listened to it, blah, blah, and I, all of a sudden, that one word, oh, my God, I got it. And that is the aha moment. That's the miracle. Because in that moment, you start seeing things that you didn't see before. And those new things actually change your whole perspective on everything. And they, of course, the miracle says that, you know, you can actually have it happen perpetually. The holy instant can happen perpetually, where you keep seeing things in a new light. So why would I choose to do anything that's going to take me away from that possibility? Why would I open a newspaper to look for a negative? Oh, who died today? Or what happened there? Or put the television on and listen to the medicines and the doctors and the nonsense and distract from the beautiful opportunity I have in every moment. And not that I couldn't find it there if I was more evolved. Maybe I could turn the television off and just dance with it. But right now I feel like all I want to do is keep myself in that perpetual state of wonderment, you know,
mm-hmm.
because everything else just takes me away from it. So stay here and now. And now I understand truly what the here and now concept is all about. In this moment, I can truly choose again. I can choose to see things in love rather than fear. I can choose to see beauty instead of ugly. And even in the ugly, I can find the beauty, like you were saying earlier. You know, in the crazy political arena, you could see the crying children that are screaming for attention. You know, the aspects of the soap that are lost, or they're pretending that they're going to fight for something, you know. And that's what's so beautiful about the present moment, because in that moment, I can see with different eyes and hear with different ears. But if I take myself away from it and go there and go back and go forward and go wherever, I'm lost. I'm lost in a state of uncertainty. You know, it's really weird, but I came in the restaurant a little late today because I had to shop for some things. And mm-hmm. we were absolutely packed, so packed that there was no tables for anyone to sit at, inside or out. And as soon as I walked into that, there was a frenzy about the energy. And I started spinning like a top. And for hours, I was busy. And I realized that I was being captured by that frenzy rather than rising above it and making it clear and easy and free flow. And certainly that happened. but it took me a while. You know, it took me a while, and that's important, I think, for you as well, Iggy, because when you realize that we are so sensitive and we could so easily be pulled into realities that can take us from our peace, that can take us from the present moment, and to realize that when something's happening like that within us, it's not really us. It's an aspect of us that's looking for attention or confused or not aligned or whatever, you know. And I have a guy at work that drinks, and yesterday I could feel I was drunk. I could feel it. I was giddy. I was really drunk. And I'm saying, I'm allowing myself. And even though that person's a reflection of me out pictured, it's not who I am in present moment. So why would I allow myself to go into that and sit in that? So it's constantly being present and recapturing, I don't even know if that's the word, but allowing ourselves to reinvent ourselves in every moment, to let ourselves be reborn in every moment, looking for the love, receiving the love, allowing the love, and not being distracted by it. And it really is like a tightrope experience when you start watching it, you really have to be straight and narrow about it. Of course, the miracle says we need to be vigilant for God and His kingdom. And so that's the focal point. Love is the focal point. And even if we are taken to the left a little bit, love is the focal point. The right a little bit, love is the focal point. And not to lose sight of that, you know?
Yeah, anyway, absolutely. I think that's it. Absolutely. You know, it's funny you say that because I use the word all love. I believe that everything's love. It's just expressing itself in the ways that it has to. And that really helps me a lot because when things are, you know, tough, I say, well, that's just love expressing itself in the way that maybe I don't understand. But it's love because everything's from God. So the way I look at it, everything's from God. God is good. So God doesn't make no junk, like they say. And I believe that, you know, and I truly believe that. Even when I'm having the worst, maybe, possible experience at this moment, you know, there's love in there. There is hope there. There is a light that will shine through no matter what. We just have to be cognitive and aware of receiving that light and seeing that light and looking for that light, you know, because when you're in the dark, you're looking for the light. You're looking around to see in the way, you know, things
that's
of the
true.
Dark are, they're attracted to the light, you know. That's why when our light is bright, we wonder why we attract dark things and why people, it's because people are looking for hope. People are looking for love. People are looking for answers. And the people who are suffering the most will always come around you and they want to know what you got. They want to know what's wrong with you. They want to know why you're so high and why you're so drunk on this love thing. And you know what? And that's what it is. I mean, it's God manifesting, you know, through you, with you. And you're right. The moment is super important. Being in the moment is truly is what we have. Like right now, this is the most important thing right now. You and I speaking on this conference, on this radio show, talking. You know,
right.
There are other things there's other things going on in the world, but right now, I'm focused on you, and you're focused on me, and we're focused on the love that's flowing between you and me.
And there really is no other world. There is. We are so complete in this world what we're in right now, and there is nothing outside of us. You know, until I put my attention on it, it does not exist. And you know, that sounds, you know, for a lot of people, that freaks them out. A lot of aspects of me, I always go back to that. But I remember being in this sanctuary, this state of sanctuary with others, with a perceptual other in particular, where we knew, it was like the Truman Show. We knew that there was nothing out there but an empty parking lot. There was nothing going on. And it was so complete. I mean, I've had moments with this person that, I mean, you would really believe if you were above it, you know, like in a helicopter filming it, that this is the set. This is set because the way we would show up simultaneously and there'd be nobody else there and we didn't even know that we were going to be there, you know, things like that. And you start realizing, oh, my God, talk about total reflection. And it's so perfectly placed by the highest ideal within you that thinks that that's right. And it shows, it takes these two characters to show up to show them there is nobody else. You know, all these metaphors, oh my God, what they've done for me. You know, that I've allowed myself, and I again, I implore anyone who's listening in my mind out pictured to really accept this and play with this, because it's so profound when you start watching and you start realizing that you are the director and what the world is actually waiting for you to give it the cue to do whatever you want it to do.
Absolutely.
It's so
Absolutely.
Profoundly beautiful. And so that's what I do. You know, it's like I tell everybody in my, again, I have to keep a giggle because I know that really everybody's just aspects of me. But I say that, you know, I've been one of the richest people on the planet. You know, I not only have I been creative beyond anything. I mean, now I'm doing donuts and now I'm making crazy brownies and and this is another creative flow for me. I mean, I like painting, sculpting, theater, I mean, dance, whatever. And now I'm painting donuts. I'm making handcrafted cakes. And it's like, oh, my God, you know, it doesn't end. And I've had every relationship. And I've had every car. And I've had every diamond. And I've had everything that I've wanted, you know. And now I'm just in this little, well, I always say my little 8x10 sanctuary here. But I've had it all. There's nothing that I long for. You know, and so I feel blessed beyond measure because I know that there had to be something about me that got it. Because I never had too much. I never had more than I needed. I never had more than I wanted. I always had exactly what made me giggle or made me totaled out on whatever level, you know. And so I want to share. I want everyone to know that they have the same ability. And it doesn't matter what the physical looks like. This kid was telling me today at job, I got to go. I almost fainted, so I have to go to the doctor tomorrow. I can't come to work. Because I said, sweetheart, go ahead, go to the doctor. I can heal you. I can help you heal. But until you can accept that, go ahead, honey, go to the doctor. I can't even accept it. I said, it's an insult for me to see you sick. Mm-hmm. I'm insulting you. Because I'm seeing you less than godly, you know? And I tell you, and I'm not kidding, I have people that in my presence get it, and all of a sudden they're not nauseous or they're not sick. They don't feel it anymore. They feel, oh, my God, you're right. I can choose again. The issue with my eyes, which I talk about all the time, you know, giving up the glasses 2 years ago. It's almost mm-hmm. 2 years now. And my daughter-in-law says to me, I don't understand, you're squinting, why don't you? And I said, honey, I have re-educated my eyes. Do you know that I work on my phone, that's my computer now, and I don't need glasses. I can see your face. Before, I needed two pairs of glasses to even look at a piece of paper with writing on it. I can read a book. And yeah, do I squint? Yeah, because my body still doesn't get it. But my eyes can see now. Nothing will change. I will never pick up a pair of glasses again.
Hmm.
You know? And
sure.
Not because I'm anything, because I know that I teach my body how to feel. I teach it how to be. You know? So why would I pick up this false idol anymore? What if the glasses crush? Crash. Remember that? There was a Twilight Zone where that happened. Remember that one? Do you remember?
You know, vaguely remember that. Yeah.
I think he was like the last guy on the earth or something, and he wore glasses. He was like a librarian or something, and he couldn't see. And truly, what a metaphor. What if the medicine's no longer available? What if the doctor that you think is the god dies? What if the whatever? And, you know, that happens often in the 3D world. It was wonderful, now it's terrible for you, you know?
Uh-huh.
He was a great doctor, but now he was a murderer, whatever, you know?
Right.
And it's like, all idols will fall. We will weep every time they do. So why not give it up now? Whatever it is. Whatever it is. So we have about, I guess it looks like 15 minutes or something like that left. Do we want to talk anymore? Do I want to talk anymore?
I don't know. Do you want to talk anymore? I think we covered a lot tonight. Talked a little bit about things, and it's always good to connect with you and talk with you about these beautiful things. And people get a chance to listen to it around the world and through the universe as it travels through via the wires in our computers and our phones, which I think is always pretty cool.
And it's just a vibration, really. It's not even what we're saying so much, but it's the energy of the higher frequency of being, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's just emanating through us and creating realities through us, because it's what it is, you know? We are it. And it's just so beautiful when you realize that, and you do take full responsibility for everything in your reality. Because when you do, then you can see the change. Until you
yes.
know that you are the maker, you cannot change anything.
And I agree yeah. with that statement. You know, I agree with that statement because my life is way better because of that. Way better. And these are aspects that I learned along the way, but I also learned them from you as well. Then, you know, when you take responsibility for the things that are in your life and the things that are coming to you, and when you start to look at them, you start to realize that they are yours. They are the reason they're happening because of your belief system. You know, if you really sat down and analyzed it and looked at it, you know, everybody likes to. There is no out there. You've heard that saying. There is no out there. It's all inside. And if you're miserable, if you're grumpy, that's a choice. Okay.
It's
if you're
true.
Happy, if you're happy and singing, that's a choice, you know?
I always say what you assume you will see. So, come on, assume what you want to see. Don't assume what you don't want to see.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, it's so friggin' basic. You know, I always think, and I always say this because it was really one of the biggest wake-up calls. I'm teaching this. I have these students. I teach A Course in Miracles. I'm on the internet. I'm doing whatever. And finally, you know, my love said to me, Ananda, there is no other. And it was like the biggest aha that I had in my life. It's like, you've been teaching this, but you didn't really get it. And I'm like, oh, shit, there really is no other. Mm. You know, the guy that I'm pointing at is me. He's bringing up all my shit that I have hidden in my closet, you know. And it's
right.
upsetting me. You know, and so when you really get it, you got to laugh like you do all the time. You got to joke like you do all the time, because it really is a joke. You know, you got to giggle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Anyway, I love seeing you guys on Facebook, you and David. I mean, you guys, it's just what a team you guys are, you know?
Yeah, we just try to raise the consciousness inside of ourselves.
I love it. I miss you guys. It was so great.
Well, we miss you too.
It was wonderful. It'll happen again, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I talk about it all the time. What?
You know, I'm always going, oh, Ananda's in the restaurant business now, and I'm not. I said, well, I'm still in the restaurant business because Ananda is me, so I'm still there.
He said, Ananda, I'm out of it. I'm getting out of it. I said, okay, I'll take over. That's exactly how it happened, you know. It was like
this
really
is,
weird.
That's exactly
how it happened. I never dreamed I would be doing this on a conscious level. Never.
I mean, you're doing exactly
what
I was doing. You're doing exactly what I did. I had the restaurant, and I was using it as a holistic center and a restaurant, which is...
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
It is perfect. And I'm opening another one now.
Yeah.
Now I'm opening another one. But this one, I'll tell you, I'll tell the listeners about it once it's established, but this is a really cool one.
Nice.
It's so insane that I can't even imagine. I don't know. I just don't even know. I love it. I love the fact that I don't know, you know? It's so wonderful to know. It's just fun to make cupcakes and donuts. I love it. So, Angel, thank you for being my guardian angel, my GA tonight.
No problem.
That helped me walk through this expression that I needed to do for me. I needed to send it out for me so I can get it back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
give your babies hugs and kisses from me because they're such angels. And Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, that I absolutely adore. It's like one of my favorite places that now that I've been there. Such a cool, cool place. So, anyhow, what else?
I guess we're good.
I guess that's
I guess
it.
I guess it's a wrap for this
it's
time.
It's a wrap. Good night, Angel.
All right. You have a nice evening.
I love you, honey.
Love
good
you
night,
too.
Bro.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Ananda Love, and it was nice to hang out with Ananda for a little bit on her show. Hopefully tomorrow you can tune in to Mark the Rabbit Hole at 11 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio with Insights Radio Network, and then at midnight, Mudto at midnight with our host Mudto. He'll give us a little insight about his life and the things that are going on. And his show is a half-hour show. Then we come back on Monday with Insight's Anchor Show. And then on Tuesday, we have, of course, Lunchtime Wisdom with Iggy, Mark, and Katie. And then we start all over again. So I want to finish up with our plug, and we're out of here. Have a nice evening, folks. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.